WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. One of Martin Scorsese's favorite film directors is Samuel Fuller. In a few minutes, Scorsese will tell us why. And before we talk with him, we'll hear from Fuller himself. The occasion for these conversations is a retrospective of Fuller's movies at the Film Forum in New York. Today, the Film Forum is premiering Fuller's latest movie, Street of No Return. But let's face it, Fuller isn't one of the celebrated directors every American knows, maybe because most of his films are fairly low-budget, black-and-white action pictures from the 50s and 60s. He made westerns like I Shot Jesse James and 40 Guns, war movies like Chinagate and Fixed Bayonets, and crime movies like Underworld USA and The Naked Kiss. He's been praised as a primitive, a punk poet whose films have a hard-hitting pulp journalism realism. Maybe some of his dialogue will give you a sense of that. In The Naked Kiss, a prostitute gone straight falls in love with the town benefactor and discovers he's a child molester.
Once before, a man's kiss tasted like that. He was put away in a psycho ward. Oh, I got the same taste the first time Grant kissed me. It was a... what we call a naked kiss. It's the sign of a pervert.
In Pickup on South Street, Richard Whitmark is a pickpocket who's just gotten out of jail. He picks the purse of a woman on a train, not realizing that she's running an errand for a spy, and what he's stolen is secret microfilm. The cops want to get it back.
We just want your cooperation, and the charges against you will be dropped. Isn't that right, Captain?
You know, I'd like to make this rap stick, but what he's got to do is more important.
Well, you boys are talking in the wrong corner. I'm just a guy keeping my hands in my own pockets.
If you refuse to cooperate, you'll be as guilty as the traitors that gave Stalin the Aba.
Are you waving the flag at me?
I know something inside you should give.
And I know you pinched me three times, got me convicted three times, and made me a three-time loser. And I know you took an oath to put me away for life. Well, you're trying awful hard with all this patriotic eyewash, but get this. I didn't grift that film, and you can't prove I did. And if I said I did, you'd slap that fourth rap across my teeth, no matter what promises you made.
Do you know what treason means?
Who cares?
Answer the man!
Is there a law now I gotta listen to lectures?
McGregor, get him out of here. Get him out of this building.
Director Samuel Fuller is now in his late 70s. We called him in Paris, where he lives part of the year. Before Fuller made movies, he was a crime reporter and wrote pulp novels. He told me he has an affection for petty criminals. I asked him what he likes about them.
About petty criminals, that word. Anytime I wanted to find out anything and all that, he'd be there at 4 o'clock, I'll find out. I'll get you the word. And if I'm not there at 4, they leave. They don't wait. And you can't give a petty criminal the... You and I, on this phone, we can kid each other saying, oh, I'm sorry about that date at the restaurant. I was running late and I couldn't get a cab and subway and I got late. You know, normally, the normal routine. A petty criminal said, then you should have thought of that before you went to see me. You should have gone 5 hours ahead of time. I'm doing you a favor. You're not doing me a favor. Anyway, I don't do business with you anymore. That's it. That's how they're briefed they are. If you're not interested enough, if you keep them waiting, there's no reason to keep them waiting because they would never have that low type of a manner. Never. To keep you waiting.
So you're talking almost about a code.
It's a code that's the only code they have is their word. W-O-R-D. They're very proud of that word. I did a picture about one of them, and that's why I got a kick out of Zanny, because he loved it, and the picture did very well. I told him I have an idea for a story, and it's about three, we call them the gutter boys. A gutter boy or a gutter girl is just somebody born in a gutter, lives in a gutter, and will die in a gutter, and then is swept right into the sewer. You'll never hear them again, never. They don't even get a number. If they ever find a body, they'll get a number and be buried in Pottersville. And I told them that I have a pickpocket. I told them I have a police informer who's a woman. And I have an idea of a girl who's so dumb. She's She can't be a whore. She can't be a mistress. But for $20 or $30 worth of dresses, she'll run errands for you. And he fell in love with those three people. He said, we never had any pictures done with anything like that now.
The movie you're talking about is Pick Up on South Street.
Yeah, but that's just an example of I had so many, and he went in love and fell in love with her because he gave the green light for these three people to be the stars of the picture.
When you cast an actor, especially in a crime movie, can you talk a little bit about what you're looking for in the face? And if there were certain characteristics that you really cast for in your films.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I really look for something that I can try to guess without knowing what he does. That's number one. The average criminal does not look like a criminal. The average criminal looks like Einstein with a mustache. I pick how I feel about a guy if I'm going to watch him for a couple of hours on a screen. And if I can believe he will do this and do that and keep a certain expression that he controls all the time. Then there's another type of an actor that only has one expression, and those are the dangerous guys in real life. That's like you go with a fella on a date and he has never changed his expression. And you think he's sick, he ate something. No, that's his expression is no expression. That's a dangerous man to fool around with in a romantic way because you don't know what he's thinking. So if I can get anything that gets the audience a little uneasy, I like that.
When you started making movies, did you love movies? Had you seen? Did they really matter to you?
I was a big movie hound since I was a kid. When I was a kid, I saw silent pictures, and I remember them. Just wonderful, just wonderful. It helps a lot. I remember a lot of silent pictures. They were superior to sound because sound, even as of right now, I would prefer seeing an out-and-out action picture where there's no plot, no character, nothing, just a lot of action, than a drama where you are not Molière, and you're certainly not George Bernard Shaw, and you're certainly not any of our modern living writers who could write.
Your wife was once quoted in the New York Times as saying that you're the first person to cry at a sad movie.
I cry like hell.
Do you really?
Yes, I cry. I saw a silly thing on TV the other day, and I was so glad the little boy and the little girl, a silly science fiction story, were reunited with their parents. I began to cry. I don't know why. It moved me. Maybe I like the acting in it. Maybe I like the way the director handled that reunion scene, you know?
If I asked you to describe your movies, describe the style that you created over the years, how would you describe it?
Emotional. If I'm not emotional, ask for the money. Ask for the money. Go back to the box office and say, I want my money back. I can't sit through anything or make anything that doesn't have emotion.
Samuel Fuller spoke to us from his home in Paris. One of Fuller's greatest champions is director Martin Scorsese. Scorsese has been trying to get some of Fuller's unproduced scripts made into films, and Scorsese was instrumental in arranging the current retrospective of Fuller's work. Scorsese is busy editing his new movie, Cape Fear, but he was nice enough to stop working for a few minutes to talk with us about one of his favorite directors. Fuller says that the word that sums up his films is emotion. Is that what you get from the films?
Well, that's exactly what I was going to talk about. The emotion of his films and the emotion, how the emotion is perceived through the lens and through his language of the use of a camera, how a camera records emotion. It's very striking and very, very powerful. Very often, I remember my old teacher at NYU used to say, you know, you talk a good story. Very often, when people could tell a very good story, but when something happens on the way between the telling of it through the interpretation of the lens, and it isn't as strong, you know, when they try to put it on film. And it's the only one I know. It tells it good, and it looks great, you know. And the emotion is carried through the camera, It's just how he interprets it.
What made his films, when you started watching them, stand out from other genre films, other crime films, and other westerns?
Well, I have to be very clear. I became aware of Fuller's movies as a film viewer, not as a film student or any kind of film critic or filmmaker.
Yeah, how old were you?
I was about, the first one I saw, I think, was 6 years old. It was his first film. I shot Jesse James. And then around 1950, I saw, or 51, I saw Pick Up on South Street, which stayed with me for many, many years because of its the visceral quality of the film and how that camera would track and move and increase and emphasize the impact of the drama. And in some cases, violence, yeah. Some cases, the violence stayed with me in terms of Pick Up on South Street. It's a very, very strong film. The way that the way the camera would increase the impact, it was so extraordinary. It stayed with me for years. Then later, about 5 or 6 years later, I saw one of his films called Park Row, which he had made in 1950. I saw it on television. And that, along with a couple of the other Powell Pressburger pictures, was on a TV show called Million Dollar Movie in New York. And the same film was shown twice a night, 7:30 and 9:30, et cetera, and three times on the weekend. And I found myself mesmerized by the power of the shooting, and how was the interpretation of through the camera of the emotional impact of these scenes in Park Row. And again, yes, there's certain scenes that are extremely violent. You know, there's one tracking shot I always talk about where there's sort of a riot in the streets, and they go from print shop to print shop, and the camera tracks down the street with the mob, and the camera goes into the print shop, comes back out, and goes down the street again with another mob, and goes back into another print shop, comes back out again, all in one take. And I think somehow, maybe the sweeping nature of that kind of a shot, with that much going on in the frame, and yes, again, violence in the frame in that particular scene, it was a continuum, and it made it much more powerful, rather than breaking up the images into cuts, you see. And I, and that's not criticizing editing, because I love editing. I love getting scenes across just by cutting a number of shots together and that sort of thing. But to see how this was done so eloquently and so powerfully, all in one take, I think had a psychological effect on me in terms of how I perceived the scene.
Are there scenes in any of your movies that you think of as having been inspired in some way by scenes in Fuller's films?
Oh, I mean, there's so much. I think a lot of I always talk about Fuller. I always talk about the sense of, yes, emotion, but emotional violence, too, and how that emotion is right on the surface and how he captures that with his people and through the camera, as I said. But I think mainly that has transferred over to practically all of my pictures.
Is there a scene that you can point to?
Yeah, there's so many. I mean, in Mean Streets, the scene where... De Niro and Keitel have to confront the loan shark in the bar,
mm-hmm.
and he pulls a gun on him. And it's the impact of the De Niro character going out of control and shouting obscenities at Michael, the loan shark. And I thought to be very powerful, Michael having a gun pointed at him can't move, can hardly move. And it's the emotional violence of that, more so than just a fight scene, for example, or a shooting. The emotional violence of a sequence like of a scene like that is right in the lines of the Fuller films, and I think maybe because, you know, I did grow up in an area, or a lot of my background has been with people that I made the film Mean Streets about, or Goodfellas and things like that, and that's the way they are. And I think Fuller was the first person I think to portray that accurately, that kind of emotional violence. And again, in Mean Streets, the shooting in the bathroom, and there's a tracking shot outside in the bar, as the boy who's been shot comes falling out of the bathroom and tries to get the young boy who shot him, and the camera tracks around, and all the other characters are ducking and going under tables, but it's all one take, and that's definitely right out of like Pick Up on South Street and pictures like that.
Fuller was a crime reporter for a while and used to use petty criminals as sources for his stories, and he really gets the kind of colorful colloquial language that small-time thieves and hoodlums use.
Yeah, Pick Up on South Street especially.
Yeah.
In fact, that was the first movie I heard the word grifter.
Yeah, right.
It was amazing.
So did that inspire you to really get that kind of language in your movies too?
Oh, yeah, certainly, because I saw he was able to brave the path in a way. And what you pointed out is he was a crime reporter. I mean, that's also part of the power of his movies, in that his films are like tabloids. His films have the power of the headlines of the madness sometimes, and the power of the headlines of the old Daily News or the Daily Mirror. not the gossipy thing of the New York Post, but even there, that kind of sensationalism. And it almost to be, I guess, to write journalism of that kind is to be able to do a kind of shorthand, and which lends itself perfectly to film, and especially if you're dealing in that world of petty criminals and war, etc. It becomes extremely powerful because of it's pared down just to the essentials, because you got to read the article, and the headline is usually the sensationalized grabber in a way. And this is definitely a major influence on his work. And I remember there was an old teacher at NYU, another teacher, told us that to come up with stories, if you want to be interested in looking for stories for films, don't read the New York Times. Read the Daily News, in a sense. You just go to, of course, it's a type of, you know, talking about melodrama or whatever, but still the impact of the tabloid is an art in itself. And you know, one of the major reasons why I think his stuff is so strong. And my stuff, my language. I mean, the first film we used that kind of language in was Mean Streets, and certainly that was in the line of Fuller's work, but more as a desperate attempt just to try to get the way these people actually, the way my friends and the people I made the film about really actually speak, you know.
Film director Martin Scorsese is my guest. We'll talk more about the films of Samuel Fuller after this short break. This is Fresh Air. Film director Martin Scorsese is my guest. I think when you went to film school, the most respected artistic movies were considered to be like foreign films.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, American films were, you know, just not to be taken seriously at all.
So did you have to kind of fight in your classes and among your friends, you know, to really get people like Fuller to be seen as serious and important American filmmakers?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, the reality is the foreign films, you know, at the time was Ingmar Bergman, Fellini, great stuff. I mean, Wild Strawberries and Seventh Seal, incredible films. And Fellini's Nights at Quiberia and After La Dolce Vita, The Great 8.5. You know, these are major, major works. And at the time at NYU, I was a film student from 61 to 65, and then I went back as an instructor around 67 or 68. And what I did was, one point, I was asked to take over a class of film theory or film criticism or whatever. And the films that were showing in the class were Wild Strawberries and the usual stuff that you could see at that time. All the repertory cinemas were all around the village, and there was the HG Playhouse and the Art Theater and things like that. You could see them anywhere. And I said to the students, I'd like to change the program. And what I did was I showed all American films. And I showed one of Fuller's, Shock Corridor. I showed John Ford's The Searchers. I showed The Bandwagon by Minnelli. I showed Force of Evil by Polanski. I even showed The Nutty Professor, Jerry Lewis, you know, in terms of his visual style. It's so extraordinary. And we talked about the, I told the students, I tried to work to make the impression on the students that, yes, the foreign films are, you know, wonderful and important and works of art, but because something is made in a commercial system doesn't mean that it's not a work of art, you see. And I thought that we could go back and of course, you know, spurred on by the French and the British at that time in criticism, really were the ones who made us aware of what we had in our own backyard in a way, go back and try to take these filmmakers seriously. And it was kind of I do like teaching that from time to time. I still show films to the people who work for me and stuff like that from time to time, at that type of picture. We show a lot of Fuller's films. I show House of Bamboo and a number of pictures to the people who work with me on films, just as to keep it alive, you know.
Now, I know we're interrupting your work today. You're editing your new movie,
yeah.
Cape Fear. What are you doing today? What stage are you at?
Well, we just looked at the film a few days ago, and we're now going back to reel one and starting all over again. You know, just goes on and on.
Well, I should let you get back to your editing. Thank you very, very much for talking with us. I've got one last question for you. I think there's around four or five Fuller movies that are out on video: Pick Up on South Street, Naked Kiss, Underworld USA, Shock Corridor, The Big Red One. Any one of those you'd recommend to our listeners
Pick Up on South Street is a really excellent film of Fuller's to get a sense of his style in a more traditional way. Shock Corridor is later down the line, and that's when he's really down to very little money and had to shoot the film very quickly, and that was made in the sort of periphery of Hollywood, and that's a little more, in a sense, far out. But Pickup on South Street is the one to start with. And what were the others? Underworld USA is a very, very strong picture. That's sort of mid-range in terms of the type of budgets he had to deal with and the type of market he was making the film for.
Naked Kiss.
Naked Kiss is, I don't think he's as happy with that one, but it's an extraordinary picture because it's got the best opening of any movie I've ever seen. It's, again, a violent opening, but it's just extraordinary just to see the beginning of the film and the overall impact of the picture is pretty strong, and of course the ideas of what he was trying to get at are pretty strong there. But I like Pickup on South Street, Underworld USA, and Shock Corridor.
Yeah, that opening scene in Naked Kiss, this really kind of tall prostitute takes a phone and kills her pimp by banging him on the head with a receiver.
Yes, but you just described what happens in the action, but that doesn't matter. It's how the film opens. What's the first shot, and what's on the soundtrack? You see, it's how he does it. Anybody could do that.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But it's how he does it, see? And, you know, it's not the most savory of, subject matter, but, even his new film, Street of No Return, has an extraordinary opening. He's about, what is he, his mid-70s or late 70s, Sam? And I opened Goodfellas in about, and the guys are riding in a car, and they hear a bumping in the trunk, and they get out, and there's a body in the trunk. And then after about four shots of the film, four cuts, the fifth cut, Joe Pesci takes out a big knife and finishes off the fellow in the trunk. Sam doesn't wait for four cuts. He does it in the first. he's much more direct, and he's still younger than a lot of us. But as I say, it's all how it's done, you know.
Martin Scorsese, thanks so much for talking with us. And let me let you get back to work.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay. Take care. Thank you.
Bye.
Martin Scorsese spoke to us from Manhattan. The Sam Fuller retrospective continues through August 8th at the Film Forum in New York. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.